It's all too clear.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And on your mark, get set, let's go, Brevard County. Good morning. This is Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And we are thanking you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program today. We know that you have lots of choices that you could make for your commute or the what's playing in the background while you're getting the kids ready for school or doing dishes or whatever. And we want to thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship, for the Refresh radio program. I want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. You know, people who do things that other people might not want to do, but these people do them with excellence, they're worth their weight in gold. And I want to recommend to you the folks at Jits Concrete, because while it may seem like it's not a very complicated thing to do, if you have ever been in some of the places I've been and seen where some people have done those types of jobs poorly, it would make you appreciate the things that Jits Concrete has done with excellence. We've had them do numerous projects for us. In fact, one of the first projects that we ever did that I wasn't there to oversee was a project that they did at our church, and it was absolutely beautiful. And I was like, they don't need my supervision. They've got it going on. And so if you've got concrete work, sidewalk work, foundational work, something that needs to be done that involves concrete, call the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. Let them put their decades of experience and expertise and their fantastic work ethic on your project, and your project will come out marvelous, glorious, supercalifragilistic. So tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. That would be greatly appreciated. So today we are going to go back to the Word of God. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. A lot of times people think that there is no responsibility on our part as to our spiritual well-being. And I don't believe that at all. I believe that God has a part that he does, and he has a part that he has assigned to us, and that we need to do our part as well. And that a lot of times involves our freedom of will and our freedom of choice. And so today I'm going to be sharing with you how important that is. The choices that you make are going to directly impact where you end up in life. So verse number 13 says this, Matthew chapter 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There are few who find it. So we have to choose which gate we are going to utilize. And what this passage clearly states is that not all gates are going to lead to the same destination. Not all gates are going to lead to the same destination. Not all gates are the same. So people who say, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe, just as long as you are sincere, I appreciate that that is what they sincerely believe. But according to the Word of God, you can sincerely believe something and be sincerely wrong. I have seen that in my own life at times, not theologically. I mean, there have been times when some people have said some things and I said, I'd better look that up, and found out that what they were trying to get me to believe wasn't necessarily true. And so I want to put in the work. And so here it describes that there are two gates, that there is a narrow gate and there's a destination that it leads to, and there is a wide gate and there's a destination that leads to. And so you and I have got to make sure that we choose wisely. We have to make sure that we choose wisely. So this wide gate, it says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way, or broad is the path that leads to destruction. And so that the gate that is easily accessible, this you know, it says it's very wide. So I have had some situations in the past where I needed to get something out of my backyard or something into my front yard, and the gate just wasn't quite wide enough to get what I needed done. And as a result of that, several years ago, a hurricane let me know that I needed to upgrade my fence at the front of the house, and it told me that a long time before the hurricane. The hurricane was just the exclamation point. So when I repaired that section of fence, I said, I'm going to put in a wider gate because I've got things that I want to make sure that I can get from the backyard to the front yard to the backyard, And so I put in that so it would have easier access. And the enemy wants you to know that he doesn't care what you believe. He will allow you to believe in all sorts of things, because if he can just get you on the highway that wide gate leads to, if he can just get you there, he knows that the end result is going to be something that is going to be pleasing to him. However, it's going to be extremely displeasing to you. It says that broad is the way. That means that it is a spacious place. But there is another interesting meaning to that word broad there. And that meaning was this, that it was a lifestyle where people cast off restraint. So not only is it a wide door that you can go into, but when you are on that path, you can live free of restraint until the end. And then all of a sudden you realize where that path that you have been on, that well-traveled path, that path that was easy, that path that was very convenient, it didn't require much sacrifice, it didn't require much on your part at all, it was almost like you were just going with the flow, and all of a sudden you began to see like a boat going down a river that it doesn't really have an end, it just has a waterfall there, that you say, oh, this is not headed the place that I want to be at all. And so I thought that was very interesting, that this path is a path that is free from restraint. We are living in a society now where people demand less and less truth, because truth is a restraining force. Now, I know from, you know, water, the power behind water. I mean, if you've got a pressure washer, you can get some sort of cleansing going on, especially on concrete, you know, pretty quickly. It has a focused power because everything is designed to flow out of a very, very restrained outlet. And so there's tremendous power there. If you go to a swamp has a tremendous influence by not allowing you to get very much traction. That's, you can have the same amount of water in a swamp, or you can have it in a very powerful, restrained boundary system, but one of them is going to be beneficial and the other is going to cause you to not be able to go very, very far at all. You're going to have to really struggle. I want the power. Now, the Bible says that for lack of vision, people perish. But if you look up that word, it means that people perish because they cast off the restraint of God's word. If you live your life free from the call of God, you are not going to feel restrained about any of the decisions that you make. You will choose the place that you want to live. You will choose the car that you drive. You will choose all the toys that you want to have, because for you, there is no restraint. You know, you must still have money because you've still got checks. So you just go, and we see that in government now, where they tend to operate without the restraint of the Constitution. They tend to operate free from restraint of accountability and things like that. And I'm not talking about one party or the other. I'm talking about government as a whole, where the Word of God is a liberating force, but it also creates boundaries for us that don't make us weaker. They make us more powerful. So there are things that other people do that I will not do because of the call of God on my life, of the goal that I have, the purpose that I have. And so because of that, I say, you know what? I am going to be more effective as a husband, more effective as a father, more effective as a pastor, more effective on the radio, more effective with my finances, more effective in my health, more effective in my mind. I'm going to be more effective in every area of my life if I will say, God, I am so thankful for the boundaries of your word and for the wisdom that you have given to us in your word, because it allows me to not end up in that path on that highway that leads to destruction. So I remember when I was in high school, there were people that said, I've got to be me. I've just got to have my own style. I've got to have my own. And so I'm not going to do it like everybody else. And then they had the same haircut. They wore the same horrible, horrible styled clothes, listened to the same music as everybody else their age. And they just went in on that. And, I told people, I had a car. I would love to have that car now. It was a 1966 Corvair convertible. My second car was a 1972, I believe, Olds 442 convertible. My dad loved convertibles. He still loves convertibles. But I'd love to have both of those cars. But when I was in high school, everybody made fun of my car. But my car was paid for. And they would make fun of that car, and I'd said, you know what? Anybody can drive a car that's, there was one person had a brand new Trans Am that they were driving. Anybody could drive that. There was another girl that drove a powder blue Trans Am, and it was like, okay, I don't like the color, but I like the car. You can always paint the car. And I said, you know what? It's during adversity where character comes that says, you know what? I can still function in this environment. Somebody made a statement to me a month or so ago about some of the clothes that I was wearing on that particular day, and talked about how it took a real secure man to wear that. And it's like, you know, I don't know if they were not going to talk to me anymore if it didn't meet with their approval. And so one time I'd grown a mustache. No, I'd grown a mustache and a beard while I was repairing that hurricane fence. And I'd get up every morning the week of Thanksgiving, that's one of those weeks that I like to take that week off. And every year for about a decade or so, I would have to go out there and repair the fencing from the neighbor's yards because they would suffer damage, and they weren't going to fix them. And so I had dogs, so I needed to get out there and fix them. And so I'd get up and I'd say, you know, I know I'm getting ready to get hot and sweaty, and so I didn't shave. And at the end of that week, my wife said, you know, I like that beard. And so I went to church, and somebody said, I don't like that beard. And I said, well, I didn't grow it for you. It's one of the things that I have learned is that when you are living to please God and you're living on for the purpose that you've got, that you're okay whether other people aren't okay with that. So here we are. It says leads to a path of destruction. So like I did with that other word, you know, where the broad is the way, spacious or cast off restraint, there is another meaning for this passage, and it says this, that the other meaning, instead of just destruction, where something that is going to be led off or led away, it's going to be led to where it is destroyed, there's another definition where it says will be led to waste. Led to waste. I don't live with many regrets. There are plenty of things that I've repented of in my life. I'm not proud of those things. I wish that I had done things better when I was in school as far as my Christian witness and things like that. But the thought of eternal destruction ought to be enough to get us off of the broad path and the wide gate and all of that, that ought to do it. But there is another element that could be considered during in this passage, and that is, what are the things in our lives that we are wasting? So earlier in my life, I started out working very young, and we didn't make much money back then, but it was all money that was pretty much spendable, or it was money that you could have set aside and you could have utilized it to not end up going into debt. And there was a lot of that money that got wasted. I remember I used to eat a certain type of candy, and it was like wasted money. There are things, and you look at it and say, where did all of that money go? And I can't tell you where it went, but I could tell you where it didn't go. It didn't go to making my life a better life. There was a lot of financial waste. So there can be things that it's very easy to get on the path of wasting time. It can be easy to get on the path of wasting money, wasting your health, wasting your emotional capital, if you will, your thought life. And I'm to the point where I don't want to be wasting the assets of my life. And that might mean that I have to take the path less traveled. The path that maybe there's not a lot of people on that path, and say, you know what? I know that gate's easier to get to. I know it's easier to go with the flow there, but there's going to be a lot of waste. There's going to be a lot of loss, and there's got to be a lot of destruction at the end of that journey. I don't want that for me, and I don't want that for you. I don't want that for you. And it and Jesus says in verse number 13, and there are many who go in by it. So there's a lot of people that are going to end up on the path to eternal destruction that God never wanted on that path. Listen, hell was created for the devil and his angels. It was not created for humanity. It's an environment where you cannot thrive. You cannot thrive. Don't make a choice that is going to send you in a different direction than the direction that God wants in your life. I recommend this. Pray for God's will. Read God's word so you know his voice. When you know God's voice, you will understand his distinct voice instead of the voice of the crowd. The children of Israel wandering out of Egypt at the promised land, and the multitudes said, we've got to stay out here. We can't go in there. If we go in there, that's going to lead us to our fears being realized. And actually, what God had brought them to was he had brought them to the gate where his promises were going to be realized in their life. So, verse number 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. So instead of death, destruction, and waste, there is life at the end of the narrow gate. But the path there is challenging. This is a word that is used in the Bible to describe being hard-pressed. It can be talking about being oppressed or crushed. It could be a troubled path, a path where there's going to be parts of your being that are going to be afflicted, that you're going to have some challenges along the way. A lot of people think that, you know, whenever you make Jesus the Lord of your life, that you are never going to have any more challenges or any more difficulties. You need to read the New Testament. You need to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You need to read the book of Acts. You just will not find that. It sounds good, but and there will come a time when you will live a life free from troubles and difficulties, but that's heaven. Until then, we are being molded and we are being formed, but the path that we're on is going to bring us to the destination of life. That means that you're going to be thriving. You're going to be vibrant. There's not going to be anything wasted in your journey. But here's the thing. You're either going to be led to destruction or you're going to be led to life. And it depends on whether you choose the wide path or the wide gate or the narrow gate, but the choice is yours. Here's how this passage ends up. And there are few who find it. Now you've got to go back up to verse number 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So there's that very intentional, very persistent act that we do that says, God, I know that you have a door of opportunity for me. I know that you have an on-ramp to the will of God for my life. God, help me to find that. I want to get on the highway of life as soon as possible. And here's the thing. It says that not very many people find it. You are blessed. I am blessed to live in America where we can hear about the Word of God on the radio. We can watch the Word of God being preached on television. We've got technology where sermons galore are available through all sorts of different websites and media services and things like that. You've got Bible translations in all sorts of different. You've got literal translations. You have dynamic translations. You have old language, sophisticated language, and you've got very simplistic language, all of which is available to you. You've got probably millions of different resources that are available, plus Christian music and a church on almost every street corner. And yet here we are in America where we're not seeing numerical kingdom growth because people are not looking. They're not seeking. They're not finding the narrow gate whose name is Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. He's the door. He's the gate. He's the way. He's the only way that you are going to ever have eternal life is to saying yes to Jesus, asking Him to forgive you of your sins, be the Lord of your life, and place you on that path of life. How much of our life have we wasted chasing after the shiny objects, chasing after the experiences the world said we couldn't live without, and there's wasted relationships and wasted health and wasted resources all over the place, all because we chose the wrong gate. Today you can make a different choice. Today you can choose the narrow gate that leads to life. Say yes to Jesus today, and that will be the best Christmas gift that you will ever receive. The choice is yours. You've got to choose which gate you will choose. So that's where we are today. I want to encourage you. Tonight we're going to be having church at 7 p.m. We've got our youth service that's going on. We've got our discipleship class that is going on. And hopefully you will make it out to the house of God this weekend. If you don't have a church home, I encourage you to have one. If you are in the Merritt Island or Central Brevard County area and you don't have a church home, I would be honored and privileged for you to come and be a part of Merritt Assembly of God, where we could get to know Jesus better and better and touch our community with the love of Jesus Christ. God bless you. You have a fantastic Wednesday, and we'll see you here tomorrow on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.